I'd like to discuss two, again, the purpose of, I don't know the purpose, but what we've been focusing on in these sessions is the means to achieve greater bitochen in Hashem for the dual purpose, which are the legitimate and appropriate purposes of, number one, achieving the things that we want in life, and of having menuchas hanefesh, peace of mind, not to have to worry about anything, because the stress is the worldwide number one killer. Everybody knows that. It affects more diseases and more mental conditions and more physical conditions and more spiritual conditions and all conditions. It stress is the worst thing. So bitochen reduces stress, and bitochen also gives us the opportunity to get the things we want. Now, if we think that getting the things we want is cheap, I'd just like to share with you a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says, "Aseh ritzoino kirtzonecho, kedei she'yaseh ritzoincho kirtzoino." Do the will of Hashem with such passion as if it's your own personal will. Hashem says, "Do I do it as if this was the desire of my life? Kedei she'yaseh ritzoincho kirtzoino, that He should do your will as if it was His will." Wow, that's cheap. You're telling me to reach the highest level of service of Hashem in order that He should take care of all my petty needs that I want. He should do my will. You know what I want. I want a new car. I want a new house. I want a couple extra, millions, and that's why I'm doing His will as my will. Today, that He should do my will as His will. That's cheap. But it's not cheap. You know why? Because there's nothing He wants more than to give us what He wants. He wants to shower us with every chesed, with every benefit, with every blessing, with every comfort, with every luxury that we desire, to fulfill all the desires of our heart. The problem is that sometimes He can't do it. Why? Because, why can't He do it? Because of the fact that He created the world to function with mishpat, with din. Because if we don't earn what we get, we don't appreciate it. We're embarrassed. We can't really enjoy it. So He created mishpat. He would love nothing better than to find a way around the mishpat. And He gives us the advice of how to get around it. How do we get around getting things that we don't deserve? Well, there's many ways. I'm going to share with you a few of them today. But one of them is, Aseh ritzono kirtzonecho. Because when I do His will, as if it were my personal will, He now can say like this: you don't deserve the things you want. But there's a rule of mida keneged mida. I look at that as like an entitlement. I can't say you earned it, but it's an entitlement. And therefore I can give it to you, even though you didn't earn it, and you won't be embarrassed because it's coming to a person who, tit for tat. You did for me, I do for you. You do my will as if it was your will, I'll do yours as if it's my will. So we should not be embarrassed to think that we want something from Hashem, not to think that we're going against His culture or against His master plan, because His master plan is to give us everything we want and then some. So anything we can do to enhance that is really in sync with what He wants from us. So I want to bring to your attention today a few things that maybe that we can do in that area. Both of them, they happen to be based on Parshas Korach. One is an interesting thing that the Ralbag in the Toelius, that means at the end of the parasha, he says lessons that we learn from the parasha. So he says the following. He says that when Moshe told Aaron, take this machto with the keteris after the maisa with Korach, and then it happens, vateotzar hamageifo. He says, the mageifo ended. And it seems from the Radak that there's an emphasis on the immediacy. Immediately in the same pasuk. So he's concerned about this immediate response to Moshe and Aaron attempting to stop the plague that was killing people after the Maisa with Korach. So the Radak says like this. We see a very interesting thing. That the tefillah of a Novi, Hadovuk Hashem, one who is close to Hashem, in close connection to Hashem, Tosir Hora Mizulosoi, will help to get the evil away from someone else. when he feels the other person's pain. Ki bavur hashgochas Hashem yisalibu. Because Hashem has this special hashgocha protis on the people that are close to him, yishmereu mizeh hatzah, sheyitztayer im yasig hora le'ish hahu ulano shemayim. Hashem wants to protect the prayer, the one who's praying for someone else's tzora, to protect him from the tzar that he feels for somebody else's pain. She taketh, she hispalalu Moshe v'Aaron al Yisroel, shov charon af Hashem yisal v'hem. As soon as they were mispalal, Hashem's anger stopped, the plague stopped, because Hashem doesn't want his good people, his close people, the people that have this close connection with him, he doesn't want them to have to suffer pain. And here's very interesting. Two things you see from here. Number one, that if I am in pain for a friend, I'm in pain for a fellow Jew, I'm in pain for another person who's suffering, and I ask Hashem, please help that person. Even if that person may not have been worthy of being helped, because that doesn't seem to be the reason that he's responding, but Hashem doesn't want me to suffer that pain. You're feeling pain for him. You're a good guy. You're not the guy that I'm now giving this plague to. You're not the guys that are guilty of what happened with Korach. You're the good guys. So, and you feel pain for them? I can't let that go by. I cannot let that pain continue. And even if they were not worthy of the tefillah, and even if your schusim were not worthy, and that's why I think it's Moshe and Aaron is a right even to one person, because it's not about schusim. Moshe and Aaron have more schusim, what's the right to one person? It's not about schusim. It's a special thing. You're feeling tzar for somebody else. I don't want you to feel tzar. You don't deserve that tzar. Therefore, I will answer your tefillah. Now, look at the power that we have. That means the power that we have one for another. If I see someone else in a problem, I see a guy, you know, he's working for months on this deal, and all of a sudden it seems that everything is coming apart at the seams. I'm sure that happens occasionally, you know. And I feel for his, not my deal, I'm not involved in it, I stand to gain nothing. But I feel his pain. He worked so hard, and he did so much, and he's so disappointed. Have rachmonis on him. That's a koyach to help someone beyond what he deserves and beyond what I deserve. Because it's not the deserving, otherwise the fact that Moshe and Aaron did it together would have been different from the fact of one person feeling the tzar of someone else. Terah says it has nothing to do with conglomerate earnings or deserving. It has to do with one thing. You're a nice guy. You're an innocent guy. You're not on my agenda now to cause pain. And you're feeling this guy's pain? I got to get rid of your pain. So we have a means, by being sensitive to others, we have a means of helping others to achieve their goals, even beyond what they're worthy of and even beyond what we're worthy of. Now, the truth of the matter is that we know there is a similar principle, there is such a principle of HaMispal Ba'ad Chaveroi V'hu Tzorich Lo Yisodovor Hu Ne'enet Tchila. Now listen to this. It says one who prays for someone else and he's in need of the same thing, he'll be answered first. Now, if I have a means now of getting him answered, listen to this cheshbon, little mathematical cheshbon. If I have a means of getting his problem taken care of, because I feel his pain, now you know what might happen? If I have the same tzora, I'll be answered first. Because I'm going for him, and I have now a schus that he should be answered. So if I have the means to get him answered, I have to be answered first. So it's mamish, it's a win-win situation for everybody. We can help our friend just by feeling his pain, because Hashem wants to relieve our pain. And we also have the schus HaMispal Bat Chaveroi Hu Ne'enet Tchila. Now about HaMispal Bat Chaveroi Hu Ne'enet Tchila, I have a problem here, by the way, I must admit to. The more that I overstay my welcome, I'm not saying I'm overstaying my welcome here, I feel very welcome, Baruch Hashem. But the more that I keep coming back, the stories may be recycled. Because I have no way, I don't take notes, and I have no way of remembering what I said where. I talk too much to ever be able to remember what I said when. But I must tell you a little story about Mispal Bat Chaveroi. It happened right here in this community. In February 1995, Rabbi David Schenker, who runs the JEP organization, who happened to at the time been using offices in the attic of our building on Columbia Avenue, He comes down to my office. We were downstairs. He was up in the attic. And he says, I have a problem trying to get a Yerusha from some relative of my father's. It seems this woman died and left fortunes of money to her cats. She had six cats. Not just the cats, but C-A-T. She left money to her cats. So he, as the closest relative, his father, was trying to, you know, be able to get that money. Chochko for something. For a little more than cat food, you know? Anyway, so Mikitsis, he says, I need help. Maybe you'll come with me to the lawyer. The lawyer's been giving us a little problems, their lawyer. And you'll tell him what a good guy I am, what a good job we do. We help the youth and the community, you know, we're very good. I said, well, it'd be my pleasure. So we're on the way so 2 hours later, I asked him just, you know, Jews are Jews. I asked him, how much, what do you think, not how much for me, but what do you think you're getting? So he says, we're going for $100,000. This is 1995. I shine him up there. So I said, wonderful, I'm very happy to have you. 2 hours later, I get a call from a friend of mine in California. He says, I just did a big deal. He says, and I'm sending the yeshiva check for $100,000. Just like this, out of the blue. What? So we're going. Fine. That was 2 days later on the way to the office. I had received already the check at FedEx, you know. We're in the car, and I say, you know, that's really what Hashem, what Chazal say. Hamispal bad chaveiro. One who davens, so I'm not davening, I'm helping. I'm trying to get it. Believe me, I needed the money as much as him. He'll be answered first. I'm going, I agreed to help him, and I was answered first. Beautiful, wonderful, everything's Jewish, everything's great. The problem was that 2.5 years went by and he didn't get anything. He couldn't win this case. And I kept telling him and his lawyer, I think Simon Gluck was his lawyer then, I think, if I remember, it was a long time ago. So he says, I keep telling him, I says, you're going to get it. Because it says, Hu Nene Tchila. Tchila has to be the first of a series. If you're not going to get it, then I wasn't Tchila, I was only. So for me to be first, you got to be second, so you're going to get it. Fine. He looked at me like a little bit, you know, whatever. But anyway, and the whole time I'm telling him, I'm telling his father, I'm telling his lawyer, don't worry, you guys are going to get it. 3 years, almost to the day, in February 98, he comes down to my office and he says, the judge signed off on this Yerusha, we're getting it. I said, how much? He says, $250. I said, $250. If that's the case, I have to get another $150 before you get $250. And he really looked at me like I was, you know, something was wrong. Sure enough, I get he didn't get, you know, the judge, till they process it and this, he didn't get his check yet. So I get a call from a friend of mine in Los Angeles. He says, remember the yeshiva owed me $155,000? He says, well, I just did some good stuff. I'm going to hold the money. So I said, wow, 100 and 155, that's 255. I told Schenker, I said, there's another five out there that you're going to get. And he looked me straight in the face like I'm looking and said, you're crazy. I'm older than he is, you know what I mean? You're crazy, he said like that. The kids, the next day, he comes running down and he's mamish like, what happened? He says, when the judge signed off on the $250, there was another $5,000 that came to some side project or something, all from this Yerusha that we tried to get. So Mamish was for stock, okay, $255. So I said, let me see the check. I wanted a copy of the check to, you know, for the story. If I had the copy of the check now, it would be very, very effective. You know, I don't have it. I lost it after years. But anyway, so I said, let me see the check. His check said $250 and $2,600. $252 and $600. So I said, what's that? You know, I didn't like the numbers were a little bit off. I don't like that. Because they're five the other organization got, and here's the $250. But what's, he says, well, they were wasting time. They were taking time. The judge tacked on some kind of a penalty or an interest or, you know, something. Didn't like the numbers. Okay, fine. What can I do? Close enough. Not a bad story. I finally get next week the paperwork from my friends from this company where the 150, that 155 that he was meichel. Turned out we made a mistake. We didn't know 155. We owed 157.5. We were off by $100. I was meichel $100 of my back pay, and we got everything before they got it. So anyway, I'm espal bat chaveroi v'hu tzorcho yisodovor hu nehenetchila. It's for real. So here we have a unique opportunity. If I can look at my friend and feel his disappointment and feel his tzar and pray to Hashem and say, help him, I feel so bad for him. That is, has such ramifications that it will help him to get what he got even if he didn't deserve it. I will be able to get it just because Hashem doesn't want me to suffer unduly just because of his suffering. And in the meantime, I've invoked this mispal about chaveru hu nehenetchila. I'm going to have to get it before he gets it. I can't get a better deal than that. You can't get, I mean, I don't know too much about business, but you can't get a better deal than that. Sounds to me like a good deal. Okay, that's number one, a little piece of business advice. Forgive me. Okay, now, another piece of advice. Unrelated to this, a different concept altogether. There's another Ralbag in Parshas Korach. And he says as follows. It says, by Korach, it says, Vatiboka ho adoma asher tachteim, when finally Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know, we're going to see who's right, and the earth opens up and swallows Korach and his family, his people, all his people, and his, the houses, everything, esporteim, the whole thing went under. So the Ralbag says, this was a super ness. Why? First of all, it happened immediately as Moshe Rabbeinu finished speaking. This is what's going to be, number one. Number two, as soon as it encompassed everybody, the next thing was it went back together. So it's one thing, mail of the earth opened up. Maybe it happens an earthquake or something. Oh, but right after it does its job, it closes up again. That was a ness al anes. That was a double ness. That was not shayach. And he says that they needed this ness, yeah? Sheyis ames bohem kive Hashem hois azois. They had to have it clear. It had to be crystal clear, truthfully clear, beyond any doubt that this is from Hashem. This couldn't be. An earthquake could have happened coincidentally at the moment that they were supposed to be punished. Mela. That'd be a ridiculous coincidence too. Moshe Rabbeinu finishes saying that they're going to be taken to task, and then the earth swallows them up. But then it closes up again. Unheard of. So it's clearly Kimei Hashem. But listen to what he says. Why did they need this to see? Should become clearly truthful to them that this is from Hashem. Because by the recognition of the truth of the miracles, that it's all from Hashem, there'll be a kiyum, the sustenance, the sustaining, the foundation, the maintaining of the emuna in the whole Torah. Now this to me is shocking. We're not just talking about me, us. We're talking about the generation that not only did they see all the miracles in Mitzrayim, not only did they go through a Yam Suf, but they stood at Har Sinai and heard Hashem talking directly to them. They stood at Har Sinai and heard Hashem appointing Moshe Rabbeinu as the spokesman, or whatever he teaches. Bavur Yishma Ha'om Bedabru Imoch VeGam Becho Yaminu Lo'olam. This generation, their kiyum ha'teira, kiyum emunas ha'teira b'chlolo, is dependent upon seeing such miracles. They don't believe in Har Sinai. They know it. They know it. They saw it. There's three levels. They're seeing. There's knowing, even though I didn't see, but I heard it on reliable testimony, which we have. and then there's belief. They didn't have belief. They didn't even have testimony. They had firsthand. They saw it. They heard it. They saw the most miraculous things happen to them there. That was like, oh, such a people you're going to tell? They need to see that this thing, this moifis, comes from Hashem in order for the Torah to have a kiyum. Kiyum emunas ha-Torah. It seems, Rabbi Yisai, that we need to constantly refurbish and refresh and review and renew and strengthen the realization that we have that Hashem is the creator and that he took us out of Mitzrayim and that he gave us the Torah and he spoke to us directly at our Sinai and he gave us the manual by which to live, and we are living by this manual and we believe in him and in his Torah, Moshe Emes v'Torosli Emes. And how do we strengthen that? By seeing his miracles. We need the miracles. Even they needed the miracles. The generation that stood there and saw and heard and witnessed. It's mind-boggling, which means that if we wish to maintain our emunah, that means our understanding, the difference between emunah and bitochon. You know, emunah is the knowledge. Hashem is here. He exists. He's the creator. He's the controller. He deals with every detailed aspect of this existence. He is the ultimate Baal Chesed and Rachamim. He wants to help us. He wants to give us every one of our heart's desires. Those are the things that are emunah. Then the bitochen comes in and says, I'm counting on him. I'm relying on him. I refuse to give up hope. I'm hoping for him. I continue to hope. I don't give up. I'm trusting him. I'm relying. I'm counting. If we wish to maintain the emunah, we have to constantly see and focus and review and witness and recognize all of the miracles. Now, we don't see Nisim Gluyim, like the opening up of the earth and the swallowing it up and then immediately closing up. But we see a lot of miracles if we open our eyes. And we have to open our eyes to miracles. And it's very, very difficult. I want to tell you a little story. One of my daughters who was teaching then in a school in L.A., they brought in a speaker. The speaker spoke about the Yom Kippur War. He was a retired army officer, and he was a young kid who was stationed in 73 at the Suez Canal. And he says it was well known that they weren't prepared. Although they were prepared, they weren't prepared. They knew it was coming, but it was Yom Kippur. I remember I was in Eretz Yisrael that Yom Kippur, and it was like a shock. They left skeletal forces on the critical areas, and you know, okay. So he says, what happened? He says that, and he was a Baal Tshuva, this officer too. He says, we were stationed about 10, 15 of us, that's all they had to protect the whole Suez Canal. And all of a sudden he saw hundreds of Egyptians armed with rifles, whatever, coming, wading through the canal to attack us. It was all over. We're ready to raise up our hands and to surrender. What are we going to do? But kids, all of a sudden, all these hundred soldiers, Egyptians, hundreds, put down their guns, raise up their hands, they're surrendering. Okay, surrender, good, we'll take you. But what happened? One of them was able to speak Arabic. He asked them. He says, didn't you see? Coming down from the mountains, there were legions and legions and legions of army tanks and armored people and this and that coming to attack us. We didn't stand a chance. We had to surrender. There was nothing there. Absolutely nothing.
They all saw it?
What? They all saw it? No, they saw it. That's why they all surrendered. Hundreds of people. And there was nothing there. The kids, that was the story. My daughter walks over to this guy and asks him, says, is that what inspired you to become a Baal Tshuva? He says, no, absolutely not. Just went right over my head. So she asks him, what inspired you to become a Baal Tshuva? He said, years later, I heard somebody telling this story. I said, c'est moi! That was me! I was there! And that's what inspired me to become a Baal Tshuva. So it's very interesting how if we don't focus, we don't see. We can be eyewitnesses and it just goes right over our head. But when he was focused on a lecture, he heard somebody, it must have been a dynamic, interesting speaker talking. Wow. Hey, ooh. So we have to be very, very attuned and attentive to focus on what's going on. And there are so many hidden miracles. And we see these things all the time. So I just want to, just maybe share two things with you, and you'll see at the end why I want to share it with you. Oh, no, let me go back. I heard on Shabbos, I heard a very beautiful thing, and I just want to, it just shows the importance of this concept. An enikel of Rav Schwab spoke at a bar mitzvah where I was, and he said that this Shabbos, Parsha Shlach, was when Rav Schwab spent with the Chofetz Chaim. It's Yodua that he was, as a yeshiva boch, he was invited to spend the Shabbos with the Chofetz Chaim. I once remember, once met him, he was talking about it, he spoke about it. Anyway, so he says, he saw that the Chofetz Chaim was being Mavis Sedra. Vayomer Hashem, Hashem ot kizok, like a cheder ingel. Mamish reading and teaching in Yiddish like a cheder ingel. So he did, the Chofetz Chaim, this giant, he was the Godel Hador, he was the Manig Hador, he was, you know, didn't know what was going on. So he asked some of the Talmidim there. He says, the Chofetz Chaim does that because every so often he wants to bring himself back to the Emunah Pshuta that he had in Cheder. As a Cheder Yingel. A Cheder Yingel doesn't know for a Chochmas. He didn't see the difficulties in the world. He didn't see the suffering in the world. He didn't see the challenges. He never heard from nothing. He knows, Vayemar Hashem, Ishtayt in the Torah, Dosilos. That's the reality, the ultimate reality of a Cheder Yingel. These little kids, I always said, little kids get it better than we do. You know, by them, there's no questions. It's all what it is, that's what it is. So it's we see how important it is to be mechazik this. And the Ralbag tells us that one of the ways that we can be mechazik this is by seeing the miracles. The Maimed Har Sinai that we know needs constant revisiting through seeing Hashem's active role that he plays in our world. So I just want to give you another example of an active role, and then tell you the last thing I want to tell you, and you'll see why I'm giving this one to tell you the next one. I was many years ago, I was on a bus in Meir Shorim, and it was a few days before Pesach, and I see a short little woman schlepping a sack of potatoes as big as she was. She's trying to get off the bus with it. So I helped her off the bus, and of course I realized that she doesn't live on the bus stop, so I have to get off the bus and help her schlep her to her house. She couldn't handle it. It was bigger than she was. And I come there, finally get her to her house, a little one-room house in Meir Shorim, an apartment. And she says, I wish I could thank you. I wish I could give you something. I have nothing to give you. But let me tell you a story. She says, many years ago, must have been like the mid-40s, a yeshiva bocha comes to her. She asked me if I knew who he was. He later became a very well-known person. I knew who he was. And he says, he came to me and says, the Chazon Ish sent me to you. If you're Gittel from Meir Shorim, yeah. This is, you have my Basher Tzivik. The Chazon Ish said, you have my Basher Tzivik. She's panicked. She doesn't know what he's talking about. She had no children. She doesn't know what. The Chazon Ish said to me, I have the Ziv. Kiss, says, come back tomorrow. She goes to the Kosel. This is before 48. She runs to the Kosel. She's standing there, Rabbeinu Shalom. The Chazon Ish says, I have a zivik. I don't know what he's talking about. She sees a woman next to her. And the woman next to her is standing there crying too. She says, what are you crying about? I have a daughter. Oy, 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 such a wonderful girl. And this bekitzer. That was the shidduch. So if we see these things as coincidence, then we miss the message. This is not a coincidence. The Chazon Ish sends this guy this day to her. She says, come back tomorrow. She runs at that time of day to the Kosel and just happens to be there, this woman who has a daughter who turned out to be the Basharta for this Binyamin Tzadik, this Binyamin Silber was. He passed away a few years ago. We have to see these things. They can go right over our heads and we can ignore them. Now I just want to tell you one more story about the Kosel and I'm out of here, okay? I heard this story also, Shabbos. This one I like too. Some Rebbe, Chassidish Rebbe, came from Yerushalayim to London many years ago. And people came, you know, to see him. This couple walks in, they say, we're married for a number of years, we don't have any children. So the Rebbe says, write down your names and on this little piece of paper. When I get back to Yerushalayim, I'll put it in the Kosa. Well, 5 years go by, and the Rebbe comes back to London. So the woman comes to see the Rebbe. He remembered her. I have 10 children. 10 children, what happened? He says, we had triplets, then twins, then twins, then triplets. Yeah. So he says, Givaldik, wow, where's your husband? He says, my husband is in Yerushalayim now by the Kosel trying to find that note.